And that is that God is our God. He's our Lord God. And he's with us. I remember back in, I think it was December, I spoke on the word Emmanuel from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 14. And throughout all of January and most of February, it seemed like every day, that was the thought that kept coming to me. I just kept thinking about that. Normally, a pastor's Christmas message is over in December. But can you guys hear me?
It looks like yes.
Right, I'm not muted. It looked like I was. But anyway, and so in the middle of March, when this thing began to happen, that word was with me. God is with us. And that's one thing that has not changed. It will not change, that God will be with us no matter what we go through. And so we've been through a lot. I think most of you are aware of the fact that Phyllis was in the hospital for a little over 21 days. And she had the coronavirus. She was on a respirator and for seven of those days. And we had a lot of opportunities to fear and to doubt and to wonder what's going on. But, you know, because you guys were praying for us and we had an army of people praying for us, God has helped us and given us victory over that whole thing. In fact, she's with us today. I want her to give a brief testimony to all of you and let you see her today.
Good morning to all my Melmo friends.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Amen.
First of all, I want to say thank you.
Phyllis, can you come closer to the mic, please? A lot closer.
Okay, sorry. Is this better?
This is better, yes. That's so good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
I don't know if you heard, I wanted to say thank you for praying for me. Tom Correll, the army of prayer warriors. During my praying for me, and I know God heard every prayer, and that's why I'm sitting here today. He's so faithful. It was 21 days in isolation, seeing only masked nurses coming in on occasion. But I want to testify that the Lord was with me every moment during the darkest times, hardest times. He put songs of praise in my heart and scriptures that I had learned when I was a very little girl came back to me, and I repeated them over and over again, and that's what sustained me during that time. He was so faithful to me, and it's only been recently since I've been home that we learned how ill I really was, at death's door. Yet God lifted me out of that bed and gave me victory. And I sit here today. I'm dealing with a few complications from that illness. But I know the Lord is going to carry me through to victory all the way because he's a faithful God. So I cherish your continued prayers over these things that I'm dealing with. But I just want to give testimony of the goodness of the Lord, and that I am alive today because of him. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for praying for me.
We love you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And so today, I'd like to talk a little bit about the experiences that we had during that time, and also talk a little bit about where we are as a church in the world today. Because there's all kinds of things that are being said. I think that some of the things are causing fear in people. And God's people should not be afraid. We have the greatest confidence that he is with us. He is going to help us no matter what comes to us. And so today I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, today we thank you for your mighty power. We thank you for the fact that we are confident that you are with us, no matter what we're going through, that you are with us and you are there to help us. It says that we are your children, and a father always takes great care of his children. So Lord, today I pray for your anointing. I pray that your word will sink into our hearts, that though our world is in a difficult moment, that you will encourage us, that you will empower us, that you will embolden us to be the church and the people of the living God. And Lord, for that today, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Going on to Ephesians chapter 6, this is a chapter that talks about the armor of God. And we've learned about the armor of God from the time we were children in children's church. And over we've heard this story. But only recently have I come to learn that one of the facts that go along with the armor of God is from 2 Corinthians, where it says, on the contrary, they have divine power. We need to understand this morning that when we talk about the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6, that there is an anointing, there is a power, there is something from God that inhabits those defensive garments that we have. And in verse 16, Ephesians 6:16, there's one that I would like to focus on this morning for a few minutes. It says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, every day, the evil one, the devil, Satan, is in the courtroom of God. And his major responsibility, what he views as his contribution to people on planet Earth, is to accuse God's people. So there he is accusing all of us. And the fact is, and what I just love about this idea of God's courtroom, is that when God's people take up the shield of faith, and we believe God, and we confess our sins, and we yield ourselves to him every day, when the devil accuses us before God, God's response is always, oh, is that real? I mean, he's accusing us. He's making all kinds of accusations toward us and saying that we did things. And God will say, oh, they did that? Oh, I don't remember that. Because Psalm chapter 103 tells us that God separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. So every day as we confess our sins to him, we open our heart to him, we hold up the shield of faith, God forgets our past, and as we focus on him, we should forget our past as well. That's what empowers us to go forward. That's what it is that empowers us to be able to live, you know, in spite of what's going on around us today, in spite of the things that we have been through recently. Our weapons of warfare have divine power. And so it says, on the contrary, they have divine power, and we hold up the shield of faith against the evil one. So when he throws the fiery darts at us, when he accuses us, we hold the shield of faith up, and it defends us against his accusations. As long as we focus on Jesus, that's what's so important for us, to keep focused on him. Not to look back to the past, not to think about what's happened in the past, but to focus on the future, because God is with us. We have the divine power of the shield of faith. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now the King James Bible says it this way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like this version because it uses the word evidence. The Greek word is elonkos, meaning conviction or proof, or the proof of things not seen. He goes on to say that for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made by what is visible. So we have this thought what is proof of faith? In recent years, Christians have come under attack from the world by saying that Christians don't believe in science. But the things I remember about the church growing up was the testimony service and the times of praise. I remember every service that I went to as a child. My father was a pastor, and every service he gave opportunity for people to give testimony of what God had done in their lives that week. I remember of hearing reports of healing, of reports of victory, of reports of people who couldn't find work, and that week God had supplied them with a job, and most of the time it was a better job than what they thought they could get. Of events, the testimonies were of events that had happened that week, of proof of faith in God. The Bible records promises and answers to prayer something like 3,000 times. When you have hope, your faith is based on evidence. If what God has done, and in his word, there are 3,000 possibilities of answers to our prayers. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So Ephesians 6 says the shield of faith. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you extinguish all the arrows, the flaming arrows or the fiery darts that comes from the enemy one. Remember that 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says they have divine power. That means incredible power, faith power, power that comes from God, power by the Holy Spirit. All these things are empowered by God, divine power. And before I talk about fiery darts, I just wanted to mention that the shield of faith has divine power. So let's speak of the fiery darts. Number one, the first one that's really common to all of us, and one that we deal with just about every day, is called doubt. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. Doubt comes as thoughts. It's like we just begin to think a thought. It's a doubt. It comes from the enemy. And a lot of times we don't discern it quick enough, and it almost takes over our thinking. But through our thinking, it grips us by the throat. It tries to choke off the life that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How is that possible? So often, I just wonder, God, how is it possible for me to be like Christ enough to have his thoughts? But do you know when the Holy Spirit comes to us, when salvation comes to us, when we hold the shield of faith up, it has divine power. It has the power to knock down the fiery darts of the enemy, the doubts that come to us. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And then turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so the Word of God is teaching us to think about the things that God's Word tells us. That's why our devotional life is so important to us every day, that we immerse ourselves in the Word of God so that when the fiery dart of doubt comes to us, we're able to recall what we've just read in the Word of God, a promise of God, and we can say to the enemy, no, that's a doubt that comes from the accusation of the devil. I'm not going to receive that doubt. I'm going to allow faith from God that has divine power to flow in my heart, and I'm going to knock down the doubts of the enemy. And then verse 7 of Philippians 4, it says, And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And you know that the peace of God is available to every one of us. So often, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder what's going on. And as I think about what's going on, and I always attribute it to watching the news, the negative reports of this world, the things that are going on around us, it attacks the peace that God wants me to have in my heart. But it says here, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace of God that we don't understand, that we can't really fully comprehend mentally, but it fills our spirit. As we hold the shield of faith up, the peace of God comes and helps us through our day. And then going on down in that same chapter, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, often I think about a book that a lady wrote. Her name is Carolyn Leaf, and she wrote the book, Who Switched Off My Brain? And in it, she talks about toxic thoughts that seem to just easily come to my mind. It talks about, I can't. She says one of the toxic thoughts is when we think I could have or I should have, and we think about the past and we think about the things that could have happened. But the fact is, we need to put those off and think forward and allow the mind of Christ to be with us and hold up the shield of faith. But the shield of faith that helps us through our doubts. In fact, I want you to say this with me. Say, but the shield of faith. Say it with me. But the shield of faith. Say it out loud. But the shield of faith knocks down the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, when doubt takes root, it turns to fear. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by a threat of danger or pain or harm. But as we let doubts grow in our minds, they turn into fears. We fear the future. We fear what's going on around us. We wonder, how are we ever going to get out of this situation? We get into the difficult moments. We have negative things that happen to us. Our wife goes into the hospital. We're not able to see her for 21 days. And the opportunity of fear is there in our hearts. And I'm telling you, I went through this. I had the opportunity to be afraid. You know, when we're in the hospital or when we're sick, one of the therapeutic things that happens beyond medicine, beyond all the things that a doctor can do, is the love of a person that can be close to us. I've always thought, if I ever want to go into the hospital, the first person I want to see is my wife. She's the one who prays for me. She's the one who believes with me. She's the one who helps me. I just want to see her. And if she's there by my side, you know, that's therapeutic. But you know, during this time, I took her to the ER. I said goodbye. They let me look at her through a door. And then for 22 days, I didn't see her. And she didn't see me. I don't know if this is true or not, but I hope that one of the therapeutic things for her would be to see me, because I pray for her, because I believe that God can help her. But you know, she was all alone for those days. And there are so many people in our world today that are in the hospital. So many people who are in nursing homes and they just need to see someone that loves them, but they're not able to because of this separation that's been imposed on us. But when doubt takes root, it causes fear. Now, in Romans chapter 18, verse 15, it says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this concept, Abba, is a word that's used with a child to the father, to his dad. Abba is like saying daddy, daddy. It's like a childish word. When we go to our fathers, we say daddy. And so when we go to God, it says that we say, Abba, or we're saying, Daddy. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, will you help me? And you know, a father is always taking care of his sons. And from this verse, we learn that we are children of God, and we cry, Abba, Father. And when we call on him, we say, Abba, Father, he is there to treat us just like children. And so while Phyllis was in the hospital, I had a great opportunity to be afraid. I didn't see her for 22 days. But you prayed for us. You sent us cards. You sent us notes. You, the church in Malmo, loved us enough to pray for Phyllis while she was in the hospital. She couldn't see me. She couldn't be with people that loved her. But God's people prayed for her. In the hospital, she was saying, Abba, Father. She was crying out to God. She's saying, God, I need your help. You know, we didn't know till just last week that by the time she went into the ICU and the respirator, her oxygen level that she was receiving through her lungs was down to less than 25%. And you know, that's getting close to where you're not absorbing any oxygen in your body. And all sorts of dreadful things can begin to happen. But God's people were praying for her. She went on the respirator. The doctors were doing everything that they could to help her. And through this time, through what the doctors were doing to help her, and through the prayer of God's people, you know, God ministered to her. God helped her. And we held up the shield of faith. The shield of faith had divine power to help my wife while she was in the hospital. And so, in the world today, this virus has spawned all kinds of fear, a lot of people are afraid of things. Now, the fear can be on the good side, wake people up to the fact that they need God. And I pray that you're experiencing this, that you're experiencing people that you prayed for, that they begin to understand that God's word is true, and they need faith in God's word to deal with the issues in our life today. Many people are coming to know the Lord today, and in the near future, because God is pouring out his spirit and offering hope to us when fear exists. But one of the fears that I have come across just recently among God's people, and I regret this. I think this is so sad. But one of the fears is that I've heard that the vaccine for the coronavirus, which doesn't exist yet, but that it's the mark of the beast. In fact, just yesterday, a friend of mine sent a video by someone speaking about the proof that the vaccine for the coronavirus is the mark of the beast. And folks, we don't ever have to fear the mark of the beast. We don't have to fear these kinds of things. He went into great detail about how the corona, he spelled it out, and it turns out to be 666. And how many times in my lifetime has someone tried to put fear into my life by saying, well, that person's name is with the Hebrew numbers, and it turns out to be 666. Well, this guy was going into great detail yesterday, and my only response to my friend was, I'm sorry, but that's not it. Because, you know, we have just clear direction from God not to be afraid of things like that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. And that man, the Antichrist, we know that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world, but the Antichrist will arise, who will be the epitome of all the sins, all the fear, all the things that God's people, the sin that affect our world today, he will be is the controller, but he will be revealed and will take control of the world. But it says, and this is what people fear. They fear the rise of the Antichrist. But it says that he won't be revealed until we are gone. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 8 says, don't let anyone deceive you. For that day won't come until the rebellion occurs. The man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to do it. It says he will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped. So he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. But don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to talk about these things. And now you know that what is holding him back so that he will be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who holds him back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. And then that lawlessness one, the lawless one will be revealed. And what is it that's holding him back? It's the church. Now, this is a controversial thing. I'm aware of that. A lot of people say, well, that thing that's holding him back is the Holy Spirit, or that thing that's holding him back is the government. But the truth is, what's holding him back is the work of the church in the world today. We know that people will be saved after he hears during the tribulation period. We know that people will come to know the Lord during that time. And so it can't be the Holy Spirit, because people can't come to know the Lord without the power or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We know that it can't be the government, because the government will continue its existence into that period of time as well. So we know that he that letteth will let is him that is the church. At least this is my conviction. It's my theology. And I'd like, if you know, sometime we can maybe discuss this further if you think otherwise. But the fact is, the church of Jesus Christ is the force that's holding back the forces of darkness in our world today. Another reason why I don't fear this is in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. It says the third angel followed them and said with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand. Or in other words, there's going to be a warning about what the mark of the beast is. So could I encourage you today? God has great plans for us. God has great future for us. In fact, in the near future, I believe that God is going to pour out his Spirit upon the church, upon this world, in a way that we have prayed about, we have dreamed about. I believe that the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2 is imminent. It says, but in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. It says that your old men will see visions, your young men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, will I pour out my Spirit in those days. God is at work. God is doing things, and we're going to see great things. So I don't worry about the mark of the beast. I don't worry about those things, because God's word is real, and God's word is for us today. And furthermore, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there will also be false prophets among people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. We must be careful when we listen to prophets. I've been following a lot of prophets. There are a lot of personal friends who speak words of prophecy that I have. But when they speak anything against what God's word says to me, I got to dismiss that. I got to say, well, you know, that you might be a wonderful prophet, but there are false prophets among us, it says. And so we hold up the shield of faith. It teaches us to believe God's word. It teaches us that the word of God will stand with us. The word of God will help us and protect us in the days in which we live. And so doubts grow into fear. And when fear matures, it becomes anxiety. Anxiety is our body's natural response to stress. It's a feeling of fear or apprehension of what's about to come. And often anxiety is uncontrollable thoughts. It's a dreadful condition that we get ourselves into where we can't stop our mind. We're focused on something that's going on. And one of the bad things about the confinement that many of us have been through, where we haven't been able to go out, as we have time to think about things. That can be bad, but it also can be good. It can help us to think about godly thoughts. It can help us to focus our minds on God's word. And during this time, millions of people have had time that they wouldn't have had before. They've had time to study God's word. They've had time to let God's thoughts penetrate their hearts and open them and be open and be open to what God is trying to say. But when our thoughts become uncontrollable, there's got to be something to help us. You just can't slow your mind down. But the way we conquer anxiety, the way we conquer uncontrollable thoughts is through God's word. And further, it's not just God's word, but it's meditation on God's word. It's focusing on a phrase or a verse that God has said, a promise of God. Remember, there are more than 3,000 promises that God gives to us. And so meditation, when we focus, when we take time and we spend time, that's what will get our minds off of what's controlling us and onto what God is saying to us. Because we know that God's thoughts, when we think about what God is saying to us, then that our focus is forward and our focus is on what Jesus is doing on planet Earth. It's not looking back to the past, but it's looking forward. When we look back to the past, I'll tell you, my past, I look back to what's happened, you know, recently or in our past, I've got reason to fear. But I look forward and I'm telling you, we have great opportunity to believe, to have faith, to hold up a shield of faith, because it has divine power to help us focus on what God has for us. Let's talk about meditation just for a moment. Psalm 19:14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So often, many years ago, I learned that there is great power in meditation.
Amen.
I learned that Psalm 48:9, it says, "We meditate on your unfailing love." And I begin to think about a time when I was completely afraid, but my father or my mother or my pastor or someone close to me loved me, and they kept on loving me, and they helped me through a difficult situation because they kept on loving me. And you know, that's all we do for each other in the church, is when someone is going through something, we say, "I love you." And then they come back the next week and they're still afraid, and we say, "I love you." And they come back the following week and they say, "I'm still afraid." And we say, "I love you." And the love of God, the agape love of God, the incredible love that God gives to us flows through us as God's people. And as we meditate on him and we're around God's people, the love of God, it says, "I meditate on your unfailing love." We realize that God's love is unfailing. It's reaching out to us even today. God's love is reaching out to us. And Psalm 77:12, it says, "I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." I love this. I just love this. So often, when I've had a struggle, things haven't gone right, and I'm trying to take time to meditate, but when I sit down, I think about a verse for a few minutes, and then my thoughts just take control and just get me focused on something else. But when I go to bed, I'm laying in bed, I begin to think about things, and I remember this verse, and it says, "Meditate on God's mighty deeds." And so I walk back into the Old Testament. I go back to Jericho, one of my favorite spots. And I think about the people walking around the walls of Jericho, and how no doubt there were people up on top of the wall looking down, mocking. They were up there. What are those people doing? They're not armed. They're blowing trumpets, and they're not saying anything, and they walk around our city. I'm in the crowd. I'm thinking about this because I know what's coming. I know that on the seventh day, we walk around the wall seven times. And when we get around that last time, God said to Moses, "Tell the people, when the trumpets blare on that last round, for people to shout the war cry at the top of their voice, to shout the victory of God." And that's what happens. Every time when we shout the victory, that seventh time around, on the seventh day, the walls fall to the ground. He says, meditate on the great works of God. Not only do I meditate on that or think about Jericho, but one of the other great wonders was when Israel left Egypt and they got to the Red Sea. And behind them, they were in the valley. Behind them was the Egyptian army. On the sides were mountains. In front of them was the Red Sea. They were getting ready to be attacked by Pharaoh's army. And God opened up the sea. I like to just think about that. I like to think about walking through that wall of water, walking through with the children of Israel, walking through that great wonder. I think about that. And you know, when I think about walking through the Red Sea on dry ground, as I walk through with the people of Israel, no victory comes to my heart. Suddenly I think about the greatness of God. And I say, God, you did it for them. God, you can do it for me. I'm surrounded by opposition. I'm surrounded with all kinds of difficulties and struggles. But I know that as I think on you, you're going to make a way through those struggles. You're going to make a way through the Red Sea. You're going to help me through this difficult moment. And you know, today, as we meditate on God's word, he's going to help us. He's going to help us through. He's going to help us with no matter what our struggle is. He's going to help us through and give us victory. I just like to think about these things. I think about Jericho. I think about the walls falling down. I think about walking through the Red Sea. I think about standing on Mount Carmel with Elijah. I'm just a bystander. I'm just watching. And Elijah is there with prophets of Baal, and he's taunting them. He's saying, oh, what happened to your God? What happened? You've given your life to Baal and to the gods of this world, and we've made the agreement, no doubt, in the past. God has answered with fire, and we've made this agreement today, and it seems like your God is on a vacation, or it seems like your God, here Elijah is saying to them, I don't know where your God has gone. Can't he help you? Because they keep on their chants, and he keep on speaking to him, but their God can't answer. And finally, God says, okay, you guys are finished. I just love this. And I'm watching as Elijah tells his servants, go get some water and pour water on the sacrifice that we have made. And it says that they dumped water, gallon after gallon after gallon of water, until a trench around the altar was completely full of water. And then he steps up. I just love to think about this. He steps up to the altar, and he says, where is the God of Israel? Where is the God of Elijah? And do you know that in that moment, God answered with fire, and fire, it says, came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. Fire came from heaven, it says, and it consumed the altar. I mean, this is powerful. God came from heaven and consumed even the water that was filling the trench around the altar. I meditate on those things. I think about the power that God has. Furthermore, I think of being in the crowd with Jesus, and the woman with the issue of blood came up. She thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she did that. But and the crowd was around him, and they were trying to protect him, and they're bumping into him, no doubt. But he turns around and says, who touched me? And his disciples say, what do you mean, who touched me? We're in a crowd. Everyone's touching you. He said, no, someone touched me. And when she touched me, she had the shield of faith. And virtue left my body. And divine power left my body and touched her body. And she came up to him. I like to just, I'm just watching. I'm just seeing her as she humbly, no doubt with fear in her heart, she comes up to Jesus, says, it was me. And you know, God touched her body that day. And today, if we hold the shield of faith up, I'm telling you, today, if we will hold the shield of faith up, it has divine power to touch our bodies, to heal us, to minister to us, to calm our fears, to deliver us from our anxieties. Today, if fear has taken control of you, if you have uncontrollable thoughts, hold the shield of faith up. And just like the woman that touched his garment, he will touch you today. I also think of, and I know I'm going a bit long here, but I think of the promises. This last Thursday was Ascension Day. And I don't know if you've got a holiday, but in Belgium, we celebrate Ascension Day. You know, in the United States, Ascension Day is just another work day. But in Europe, most of the countries of Europe, we stop and we celebrate and we have a special day. It's called Ascension Day. It's the day that Jesus went up to heaven. And it's 10 days before Pentecost. And Pentecost is next Sunday. And we're going to be together again next Sunday. I'm telling you, it's a powerful day. Pentecost Sunday is the day the Holy Spirit came into the world. But Ascension Day. And what are the promises of Ascension Day? I reviewed them this week. We can go to the end of Luke and the end of Mark and the end of John and each of the end of the Gospels, and the Ascension is recorded. But before what's recorded about Ascension Day there were some other Ascension Day promises. And one of them is just, I just love this. It says, John chapter 14, verse 1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't tell you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me so that you will be where I am always. I just love that. I just love it. And I'm telling you that God is preparing a place for us. If we worry about things that are like things like the mark of the beast, things like what's going to be happening around the church in the future days, if we fear those things that may come, the promises of Matthew chapter 24 and the dreadful things that are coming, I'm telling you that God says that he will be with us and he's going to prepare a place for us that where he's going to, that we're going to be with him always. So it dilutes the fear that can come to us of things that might happen, because it says that he will be with us. And then Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of this age. What a promise that God has given to us. The Ascension Day promise that he is with us even to the end. We are never going to have a difficulty. We are never going to go through an issue. We are never going to have any kind of a problem to come to us, but what he is not with us. We can depend on that. And we can let that thought, you know, that is the thought that quenches every fiery dart. The fact that he is with us. We hold the shield of faith up. It has divine power. And we know through faith that he is with us. Amen? So say this with me again, but the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. Say that, the shield of faith. Say it with me, the shield of faith has divine power. Say it again, the shield of faith, divine power to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I just pray. You know, I had the great opportunity. I want to tell you this one final story. The day before Phyllis came off the ventilator, I called the doctor, and he says, you know, we're trying to get her off. We're trying to wean her off the drugs that they put you on to go on the ventilator. And he says, but we're having a little trouble. And he said, there's a little bit of anxiety. You know, I don't understand this, but when you're in a coma and they bring you out of the coma, your body goes through these anxious moments, these anxious feelings. And the doctor says she's going through some anxiety. We're having a little bit of trouble getting her off the ventilator. And immediately, my mind went back 10 years. 10 years ago, my cousin, who was a pastor in Pennsylvania, he pastored two Methodist churches, a very godly man. He had a heart problem and went into the hospital. They put him on a ventilator. And you know, he never got off the ventilator, because as he was coming, as they were trying to get him off, this anxiety took over. I don't get it. I don't understand this, but he died on the ventilator because this anxiety, they couldn't get him off, couldn't get him out of the coma. And you know, when the doctor told me that she was having anxious thoughts, you know, I had the great opportunity to be afraid. And you know, in that moment, I wasn't. I can't explain this, but there was this peace of God that came over me saying, everything is okay. She's gonna be okay. I had great opportunity to be afraid because my cousin had died in the same moment. But because you were praying, because God's people were praying, because God's grace was undergirding and strengthening me, I had the opportunity to be afraid, but I wasn't. And God helped me. I will never forget that. I will never forget the moment that I could have been afraid. I had good reason to be afraid, but God helped me in that moment to not be afraid. I'm so thankful today. And so because of that, I want to pray with you today. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, that the shield of faith and the armor of God has divine power to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. So whatever it is you're going through today, I pray, God, today I pray in the name of Jesus, that every need represented in our group today, every need will be met today because of the shield of faith. Lord, today I hold the shield of faith up, and I apply it to every doubt that we, as your people, that the shield of faith will quench every fiery dart, and the fiery darts of God will fall off harmlessly to the floor, to the ground. That every fear, every anxiety that your people are facing today, that the shield of faith will protect us. And when the enemy tempts us to be afraid, to be anxious, that we will hold the shield of faith up because it has divine power against the forces of darkness. And I pray that you will protect us. We are the church. We are your people. And we say, Abba, Father, protect us, God. Protect us from the plans of the enemy. And I'm not so worried about me and people my age, but Lord, I worry desperately about our children and our grandchildren and young people and what they're facing. And God, I pray that you will teach them to hold the shield of faith up as well. I hold it up. I pray my children, my kids will learn to hold the shield of faith up for its divine power. And the children, Lord, that we have in our church, they will learn to hold the shield of faith up and that they will experience the divine power that comes with the shield of faith. I pray today, God, that you will deliver us. I pray today, God, that you will meet every need. As we yield ourselves to you, God, we ask that you will fulfill the Ascension Day promises that you made to us, the church, that you are going to play to build a place for us, and that you will be with us even to the end of the age. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Folks, it's been so great being with you today.